Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday morning, the day, of course, before Thanksgiving, one of the great traditions in America, one of our favorite holidays. I don't know anybody that doesn't like Thanksgiving. If you don't like Thanksgiving, then you're a Grinch, to utilize another holiday's tradition. Look, a lot to get to today. Obviously, some wacky stuff yesterday with Markelle Fultz and the 76ers. That thing just got weirder and weirder as the day went on. We'll get into that. Sixers play tonight. Flyers play tonight as well. Eagles and Giants on Sunday. Obviously, a critical game, one that certainly I think it can be said is a must-win. There's a lot swirling around the Eagles. Malcolm Jenkins with some comments yesterday. Mike Groh with some comments. We'll get to that. Of course, Turkey Bowl for John and I and James tomorrow right here. Howard asking all of us. Part of the Turkey Bowl broadcast tomorrow on WIP. We're looking forward to that. Sun Valley and Chichester. And just the overall feeling of thankfulness. Thankfulness? Yeah, thankfulness.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Phone calls all show, 888-729-9494. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. Richie Rich, what up, bud?
The Statue of Liberty wears a size 879.
Whoa!
Women's shoe.
Get out of here.
879.
And I'll take your shoe fact, and I'll up your Annie effect.
Yeah,
I found out the other day my shoe size two sizes smaller than I thought it was.
You do have petite feet. Seriously,
I thought it was a 9.5. I went down to a 7, 2.5 sizes.
What? I think you wear a 7.
Well, this
men's.
Yeah,
is this men's or women's?
Well, it's men's, but this one, sure? This one brand, I think, is. Off
you wear a size 7
with this
shoe.
With this one brand.
Can't believe you're admitting this.
I went from a 9.5 to a 7
even
shoe size.
Even a 9.5 is petite.
In one visit to a store, I'm half the man I used
to
be, John.
You lost 2.5 sizes?
Oh, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace.
People shrink when they get older.
Let me tell you something.
Your feet are shrinking.
That'll do something
to
a man's psyche.
How do you even stand? How do you balance yourself with such tiny feet?
That'll do something. James, if that ever happens
my gosh,
to you,
Jimmy,
just know you'll go to bed.
Size 7.
A lesser man.
I, honest to God, I wore a size 7 when I was in fourth grade.
Well, I think it was just this man.
I was in fourth grade,
yeah, I think
man.
It's just company. I think it's the company.
I was so. 10 years old.
What can I tell? I could have gone 8, but 7 felt a little more snug. I went with the 7. We'll see what happens. All right, 888-729.
Oh my gosh.
We wonder why he's going to have a tiny baby.
What size shoe do you wear, Jimmy?
I wear a 10.5.
10.5?
All right, well, I'm typically a 9.5. Now I'm a 7. I don't know what happened.
A size 7.
All right, 888-729-9494.
I double you.
All right.
My shoe size is double your shoe size.
Why W-I-P you? Thank you very much. All right, let's get to it. Eagles, we'll get to the Sixers stuff.
I had no idea what that meant for a second there.
You go. All right.
I was stunned.
All the fault stuff, we'll get to that as we move through the show. Philadelphia Eagles, they get a game on Sunday. It's an important game. It's a must-win. We all understand that. Couple things swirling around. Now, I shouldn't say not the least of which is that they got their doors blown out this past Sunday, and they got to rebound from that and be a much better team, and that's all true. But now you got a lot of stuff. You got people talking, some people chirping, some dumb comments, some poignant comments. Listen, John, the more I get a sense of this season, the more I feel like it's, frankly, on Doug Peterson. And it's one of those things where, look, we all know he's handed, he's got a short stack he's dealing with right now. He's got a, if he's playing poker, he's rolling with a bad deck, a bad set of cards. Look, the bottom line is there's been a ton of injuries, all right? We all understand that. There's just been a ton of injuries. But there now seems to be, and I think it's fair to say is, a level of dysfunction that is independent of the injury situation. And the dysfunction in me comes back on the guy that runs the operation, you know, as far as, hey, here's the team, go lead the team for 6 months, or back to OTAs for 9 months, the head coach of the football team, Doug Peterson. Let's get to two pieces audio, and then we'll set this all up, 888-729-9494. But two pieces audio from just yesterday that, to me, speak to levels of dysfunction within the team or the organization. Here is Mike Groh. We touched on this yesterday, but here's Groh, press conference, talking about how difficult, which is ridiculous, it's been to integrate Golden Tate, recently acquired by Howie Roseman for a third-round pick, which is good value. Listen to Groh yesterday.
Has it been a little more difficult to fit him into the offense than you guys may have anticipated?
I don't know if it's been more difficult, but it's been challenging to integrate him. And
challenging?
You know, certainly with the way that we weren't able to stay on the field the other day and find any rhythm to the offense, you know, that part of it, you know, then everything becomes a little bit disjointed. So if we can do a better job of
all right, enough of this. Enough
staying
of this,
on the
enough,
field.
Enough.
And,
he's saying it's challenging. Are you kidding me? He's saying it's challenging to integrate a guy that's a real vet, a quality player. This isn't an over-the-hill guy. He says it's challenging. All right, then.
I do think we're jumping down his throat a little bit. And what he was initially trying to say was that when you can't extend drives and stay on the field, you don't have as many plays to go around, and that's part of the problem. But this is, he was the wide receivers coach before he was the offensive coordinator. It sounds so bad.
It does.
The way, listen, I'm not indicting him. I've decided I'm not going to say this is the end-all, be-all. Mike Groh doesn't know what he's doing. I think what he was trying to say is different from the way it came out.
All right, I disagree, but that's fine. Then yesterday,
but it is dysfunctional that's even out there.
It shouldn't be. Then yesterday, you got Malcolm Jenkins speaking, you know, meeting with the assembled media, and Malcolm with some very stinging comments, really about this operation. When you consider that he's basically saying there's guys out there in the field with him that simply are not equipped to be out there, that they're not competing. And that, for lack of a better way to put it, basically that they're laying down, that they're not willful. They don't have the will to compete. Maybe their body's physically trying, but mentally they don't have the chops to compete at the National Football League level, which is like, what in the hell is going on here? And where is Doug on? I know these are a lot of guys just off the street, but you can't have guys like, I mean, you can't allow this to happen in a football game. Listen to Malcolm yesterday.
This is the situation that's not for the faint of heart or for the weak-minded. We need real men who don't mind, you know, getting beat, who don't let, you know, other teams making plays bother them, because we're going to have to weather a ton. You know, we understand that it's inexperienced back there. We don't expect people to be perfect, but we expect whoever's out there to compete. I mean, it was just embarrassing, you know, quite frankly. It was one of those things that I didn't feel like as a team we had a lot of fight. I'd rather get thrown out of a game than just lay down and take it. And, you know, it was a ton of frustrations. One being, you know, obviously me going back to New Orleans, it's a game that meant a lot to me. But just the demeanor of the team really bothered me. And then just the frustration of having guys that you work hard with and spend a lot of time with get injured. It's just a rough day overall. But, you know, at this point in time, we need to figure out some things about ourselves.
What do you mean the demeanor? What do you mean the demeanor?
You watch the tape, right? You watch the game?
Yeah, I watched the game.
What would you say the demeanor of the team was?
You seem uninspired.
Very good. That's what I would say. Okay. Well, I mean, our record would show that. When a team jumps on you like the Saints did and things gets rolling, you find out a lot about yourself. You know, whether you're going to get blown out regardless. You're either going to get blown out swing or you're going to get blown out laying down. And I think you had a little bit of both.
Yeah, so like that's just ugly. 888-729-9494. Here's my thing, John. He uses the word demeanor, and there's a lot of other words in there. And obviously, he's basically saying that the guys don't have the will to compete. That's that, you know, that they're afraid. A lot of guys off the street, that they're unequipped. And that, you know, may be true that they're obviously lesser players. That's why they're lesser players. That's why they were available 3 or 4 weeks ago. But the way I look at it is this. Then after the game, at the podium 3 days ago, Doug standing up there saying the guys fought hard, did this, blah, blah, blah. A couple of weeks ago, these are the kind of losses that galvanized the team. What's being galvanized? Like, where is Doug on the pulse of what is occurring beneath his watch right now? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, I got a essentially general manager, executive vice president of football operations, Howie Roseman, that acquires a quality player to integrate for this team to try to make a run, knowing that he could be gone 8 games later because he's a free agent. Offense coordinator talks about difficult, you know, incorporating him. The leader of the team, Malcolm Jenkins, is questioning essentially the will, maybe not the physical effort, but the will, the mental will of teammates amongst him to compete in a pro football game. And yet after the game, Doug Peterson is all happy. I don't want to say happy, but he's like Mr. Positive at the podium, which was preposterous after they got their doors blown off. Where is Doug on understanding where this season is and how it is spiraling out of control? Where is he on that, John?
Doug is lost. Doug is as lost as the team is, very obviously. Doug has lost his hold on this team, his staff, this season, for that matter, and he's not equipped to fix this. He is not he is not the coach that we thought he was last season, because he doesn't have the same support staff, and we find out now that they did a lot more than we thought. Doug has no plan, scheme, idea of how to get out of where we are right now. But here's the amazing part. Doug's not equipped to fix this, but the division might.
What do you mean by that?
The division as poor
the NFC East
as what it is.
I thought you meant the
division may
the team.
Fix yeah. this for him.
Well,
but it's not going to be Doug.
It opens up possibilities knowing that the Redskins have their quarterback issues, aren't great anyway. Dallas, not great, although surging a little bit. Look, we'll see. 888-729-9494. Is Doug equipped to fix this? Probably not. I don't think so, John. I mean, I don't. Listen, the guy won a Super Bowl last year.
So far gone.
And so I never would have envisioned saying that I don't think he's equipped to fix it like 9-10 months later. Do I think he's equipped to fix it? Probably not right now. I don't think so. You know, he...
Probably not. I mean, he's not.
Well, think about...
Look, all this stuff's being said by everyone else that how, you know, the horsemen of the apocalypse are galloping across the horizon in everyone else's eyes.
Well,
he's like, yeah, you know, I'm proud of my guys.
I know. And one of the things that really, to me, is problematic is how many, like, it's real easy, or easier, I should say, when you have an issue, and it's an issue. You have a singular issue, or two, or three. Think about what's going on here. He's got an issue up the chain of command with Howie Roseman because they're not on the same page in the utilization of Golden Tate acquiring him. Howie acquires him thinking we're going to utilize him as an Eagles team, and Doug's not equipped to do it right now. He's got an issue going down the chain of command with Mike Groh. So he's got that issue.
Well, Mike Groh is a major problem.
All right, so he's got that issue. He's got the issue of just the general offense. Like, for as bad as the offense has been, and I know the offensive line's been problematic, and I know Carson's regressed, this football team does have, offensively, Carson Wentz, Golden Tate, Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz. You should be able to put some points on the board. I mean, let's not act like you're out there with Mike McMahon, Reggie Brown, and, you know, pick another, you know, bum or two through the years. You got that issue. You got a defensive secondary where the leader of the team, Malcolm Jenkins, is basically saying players on the team don't have the will to compete, is pretty much what he said. So, like, you, and that's, like, that's, there's all other issues. 888-729-9494. So is he equipped to fix it? Probably not this year. And a win against the Giants doesn't fix it. It might stave off death for a week or two. But no, this situation is not going to get fixed this year. 888-729-9494. We'll take your reaction. We'll talk about the Fultz situation. We got a lot of things up ahead on what is a Football Wednesday. We don't have a Friday show. We're looking forward to today's show. Be here with us for the next 4 hours, 888-729-9494.
The all-new Hesser Chevrolet on the Boulevard, where it's your way or no way. The biggest Black Friday sale is going on now at Hesser Chevy, where they're discounting every car in their inventory. Hesser has the biggest deals, the best trade-in values, and the lowest monthly payments guaranteed. And when you purchase a brand-new car during their Black Friday sale, this week, you can choose between a 50-inch flat-screen TV or premium game console. I love the sound of presents around the holidays. At Hesser Chevy, they know your time's valuable, so before you head to the dealership, go online. You can pre-qualify for great financing options at HesserChevy.com. And don't forget their service department open 6 days a week. But don't wait till Black Friday, because this sale's happening all this week at Hessert Chevy. Minutes from everywhere on the boulevard and at HessertChevy.com. Take it from me, John Ritchie. It's your way or no way at Hessert Chevrolet. Offer valid through November 23rd, 2018. Subject to availability. See dealer for details.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.